Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church, 300 West Arch Street, Pottsville, Pennsylvania. I'm Pastor Chris Rothart, and we welcome you, our members, guests, and visitors, to our worship service this morning for Sunday, September 20th, 2020, and we invite you to join with us again next week. This week's service is sponsored in memory of loved ones by a friend of Trinity. As we have served the Pottsville area for more than 185 years, our continuing mission is to be a worshiping, learning, witnessing, and serving family of believers, empowered by God's word and God's sacrifice, to share in love and service with and for the people of our congregation. If you are looking for a church home, we invite you to come and worship. If you would like further information about Trinity Lutheran Church and its ongoing ministry, please call the church office 570-299. Our church also features a website at trinitypottsville.com. We now begin our service with the order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive in sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your way to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. For his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our first reading is from the third chapter of the book of Jonah. When God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity he had said he would bring upon them. He did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah. He became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? This is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishment. And now, O Lord, please take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east. He made a booth for himself. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of him. The Lord God appointed a bush and made him come up over Jonah, to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he could faint, and he might die. He said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And he said, Yes, angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. Came into being in the night and perished. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which more than 120,000 persons do not know their right hand from their left? Also, many animals. Here ends the reading. Our psalm for today is Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. There is no end to your greatness. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your power. I will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty and all your marvelous works. They shall tell of the might of your wondrous power. I will recount your greatness. They shall publish the remembrance of your great goodness. They shall sing joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Our second reading is in the first chapter of the book of Philippians. For to me, living in Christ, died in sin. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard-pressed in me. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced, I know that I will remain in you with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boast in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent to hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one another for the mind and the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's. For he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had now, hear that I still have. Here is the reading. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, sent them an invitation. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the market. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. He said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired you." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and misfortune." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last, the same as I gave to you. And am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous, so that the last will be first, and the first will be last?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Here's I sit. Truth be told, before I came to Pottsville, I always thought this said Gooers or something like that, only to find out it's here. And I was quickly corrected because we actually had members of the congregation who were of the family. But that's not what the message is. Our message today is about change. And as we all say, nobody really likes change. But that's the funny thing about change. That's all that life is. Life is nothing but a series of large and small changes. We say we don't like change because it forces us to change right along with it. So what's that got to do with this little carton? Well, some of you may remember, and this kind of disappointed me when I came to realize this, somewhere within the last 10 years, I'm going to say, this little container changed. If you remember, there used to be a little perforated circle on the top of the lid here for a straw to poke through. And I thought that was a really neat invention. But it's not there anymore. It was a little disappointing. A little bit of a change I had to get used to. Our first reading is a story that we're all familiar with, the story of Jonah in different parts. And the part that we have today is the part where Jonah has told the people of Nineveh, "Repent or die in your sins. God's giving you a warning." And he walked 3 days' journey into the city and told over 100,000 people about God's warning. Now, backtracking the beginning of the story, Jonah didn't want to do this. He ran as far away from God as he could get, but God ultimately brought him back to a complete tent. And he ran away because he knew, or at least he had in his mind, the idea that the people would repent, that they would be saved. And Jonah and the place where he came from did not like Nineveh or the Ninevites because they were evil people as far as they were concerned, and they didn't deserve to receive a chance that God did. So that made Jonah angry. And it really made him angry because he knew in the back of his mind, as our reading says, God was going to give them a chance, and if they repented, they'd be left alone under God's mercy. Jonah didn't want that. So we have at the beginning of that story the argument between Jonah and God. Jonah saying, "I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to give these people a chance, that they were going to repent and you would spare them. And if that's the case, I'd just rather be dead." And God said, "Is it right for you to want to die?" And then Jonah stomped off and made a little booth for himself to sit in the shade. And then the story says that God made a plant grow over his head to give him shade. And then Jonah fell asleep for the night. In the morning, the plant was still there, and Jonah woke up. But God made a worm appear, and the worm did damage to the plant so that it withered and died. And then God sent a scorching east wind and a very powerful noonday sun to beat down upon Jonah as he waited for the calamity that he hoped was going to come, but he knew wasn't going to come, and indeed did not. Jonah again said, "Oh, I knew you were going to do this. It'd be better for me to die than to live." And God again said, "Is it right for you to want to die? Is it right for you to complain about that little bush and not care for the lives of 120,000 or more people and animals? Is it right for you to complain that you didn't get a little bit of shade and they were going to lose their lives?" And Jonah had to change. Jonah had to realize that it was God's will that was being done. He had to realize that he had to change. Because the hardest thing for us to do is not necessarily accept change and to witness change happening, because again, everything around us is nothing but change all the time. The hardest thing for us to do is what shouts out at us from this reading. Jonah had to change because the sun was beating down on him. He had to acquiesce to God's greater will. But what's harder is for Jonah to change himself, to accept. And what was harder was for all those people to change their behavior. I had to reluctantly accept that there wasn't a poke hole on the top of this container anymore. But that's not a big thing. But the idea that God came to give us the opportunity that the Ninevites had, to give us the opportunity to be forgiven, to give us the opportunity to accept the change that had come upon our lives. And we do that graciously. And we accept that willingly. And we rejoice because of that. But we still wrestle with change. Not because change doesn't happen, but because it forces us to change along with it.
He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge.
whole people of God in Christ Jesus. Let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. For all who continue to be affected by violence, natural disaster, injustice, and accidents of any kind, especially all those facing continued wildfires, tropical storms, and hurricanes, and those left homeless from the fire and ash. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all who look to you in their need, illness, loneliness, grief, and all other difficulties. We especially pray for members of our congregation, for family members and friends, shut-ins and those residing in nursing and personal care, for those serving in the armed forces, and for those who mourn, especially the family and friends of war and time. We also pray for those we now name before you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.